the volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones. It's Thursday, April 29th. We've got a huge show for you. We're talking about Steph and the towel of dismay. We're talking about Dr. J. We're talking about whether Babe Ruth was black. And we're going to do a blow your mind at the end. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, guys. Have a gun.
With Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
How you doing, guys? I'm the Jethro.
And I'm Mike. And it's Thursday. Sun is shining. Everyone's feeling great, except for Steph Curry, the only sad person in California right now. Here's my question. Do we feel bad for Steph Curry, bro? Like, they were down 62-29 at halftime against the Mavericks on national television, and he went into the towel of dismay where he fucking hangs his head and he drapes that little towel over and just, I'm just gonna disappear from the world for a little while.
Goes into a different universe. Yeah. He out there looking like Calvin when Hobbs used to like ambush him and beat the shit out of him. That's what that picture reminded me of. But do I feel sorry for him? Absolutely not. Look, man, Steph. Like we all knew that the way that this shit goes, that pendulum's gonna swing back, bro. And when the pendulum was swinging Steph and Golden State's way, he let motherfuckers know that, you know, that was his league, that was his world. He was a shimmying motherfucker, celebrating motherfucker. And now, you know, the rabbit got the gun now. So the game is the game. I don't feel sorry for him at all.
The rabbit has the gun, but just last week, I saw him hit a shot on his brother, dance. And then signal up to God, thanking God that he busts his brother's ass. Like, busting his brother's ass in the name of God, bro. That motherfucker, dog, he's still out here shimmying on people, catching L's too. Yeah. He don't care. So, no, I don't feel sorry for somebody.
Steph is not a sympathetic figure, bro. Not with all that goddamn shimmying and shit talking he was doing when the Golden State was on top. No, no. And
number one,
I love that. I love the shit talking. I absolutely do love it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not someone who says, well, this is what he gets for not being, you know, sports. I'm like, fuck that boring shit. I love the shimmying and the shit talk. Yeah.
Right. I love the arrogance of Steph. If I was Steph, I would be Steph. You know what I mean? You know, like, he's only half as arrogant as he could be if we keep it in a buck. You see what the fuck he doing out here? Yeah. He should be dancing and shimmying way more. You know what I'm saying? So, but nah, like, bro, like, nah, I don't feel sorry for this man, dude. Like, nah, he's good.
There is something like when I see him with the towel on his head, I like start hearing violins, bro, like in the air. It is the most sad looking thing.
like old girl in the Popeyes meme when she was posted up outside of Popeyes. Oh, yeah. They was beating her ass behind the chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, about to be
that's what he looks like. Right. What's really fucking about that picture though? She didn't even have no cigarettes. You know she needed a cigarette. She was fresh out of cigarettes and everything, just struggling out there, butt naked in front of everybody, dog.
It's either violins or it's the Curb Your Enthusiasm song. You know what I mean? It's just this, but like, I guess if he shimmied on you, it's the Curb Your Enthusiasm song. I used to do that when I was a little kid, though. If I was having a hard morning, I would throw a towel over myself. My mom would say, Mike's being a lump. Like, I would throw a towel over myself and just duck down on the floor like, I'm not here. Like,
my thing is like finding a corner and just staring into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when I'm feeling it that way. But no, bro, like, come on, man. Like this last week, he was the coldest nigga on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Not getting beat by 40. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine what Steph would have? Dude, they were down in games and they would lose games. And him, Clay, and KD would be laughing on the sideline. Like, because they knew they was that confident. They'd be losing by 10 and be laughing like, who gives a fuck about this game? We still going to win the chip. Bro, I do not.
No, it's still
that man. You know what I mean?
It's still fuck Steph for sure. I'm with you 100%.
No, that's never. I don't know if it's fuck. I mean, it's. I don't want to say
it's fuck his sadness. It's fuck the despair. Yeah, for sure.
That's fakes despair. And they'll be good next year. They'll be solid next year. So,
speaking of misguided legends, Dr. J does not have LeBron James in his top two all-time NBA teams, not top two players. He doesn't have him in his top 10 because, quote, he's the guy who has led the charge of super teams.
He retired a year before the 87 Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't around when you didn't see the fucking Celtics. You know what I mean? What the fuck was MJ on?
Yeah.
When you had three of the best defensive players in the league that were the first team all defense on one team and two players on first, that was first team all, you know, first team all NBA. Nigga, what the fuck was that? What do you call that? You know what I mean?
Bro, the funny shit, it, Dr. J taking an anti-super team stance is hilarious for a number of reasons. The first one is his first team all NBA team has Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Wilt on it. They all played on the same damn team together, right? Julius, bro, what are you doing? And like you said, John, he came up and like there was a 9-year stretch where Magic got 5 rings, Bird got 3 rings, and one other team, you know, knocked both of those teams off to get their ring. And it was your fucking team. You were the 1981 MVP. Y'all got Moses Malone in the 82 offseason, who was the 82 MVP, and then won the 83 MVP. Then y'all won 65 games with 4 All-Stars and did the, and you know, Moses did the fo-fo-fo when they went 4-4-5, and they all swept the fucking Showtime Lakers, and you're anti-super team? You were a super team in the super team era. What the fuck? Hope will be seen
it out, doesn't though. Make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I honestly am getting to the point where, like, bro, man, I mean, Dr. J, you I respect the hell out of legend. You, but you gotta shut the fuck up respectfully. When it comes to this shit. Respectfully, you feel me? He still might be able to sleep my ass. That man got hands as big as my head, you feel me? But I'm just saying, like, dog,
you need to stretch before you try to run in through his reach to hit him. Yeah. To be clear, seven of the 10 players in his top 10 played for the Lakers or the Celtics.
And Jordan was on the second team. MJ? Really? Like, I mean, if nothing else, old heads respect the black cat, right? You know what I mean? Like, if nothing else, and you just said, fuck everybody. Put all them old-ass niggas on the first
Michael
you
Jordan is the
happening to them today?
Michael Jordan is barbecue. Michael Jordan's the youngest player on his top 10.
Come on. I mean, I get how, you know, you show respect for the people you played against. I get all of that, bro. But it's bullshit. Yeah. I get all of that, and it's still bullshit. You know what I mean? You feel what I'm saying?
It's
that simple.
Yeah. Like I totally understand him saying, you know, I idolize the players that I grew up idolizing and played against more than this generation. I get that. But to say the whole anti-super team stance.
Super teams.
Bro, you were...
There was nothing but right, super teams.
You were molded into that shit. You were of that shit, bro. You know what I mean?
You're Bane, like, nigga.
You are super team
you
babe.
Into that shit, bro. What the fuck are you talking about, dog?
And Karl Malone, why the fuck is Karl Malone on that? Bro, fuck Karl Malone for one. And bro, Karl Malone's great, you know, second all time all leading scorer, but there's about score, three or four fours who I'd put over him flat out. Hey, it's
including the one we just referenced.
Including LeBronimus Prime, nigga. LeBron, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
There is something refreshing, and I do think this is really specific to basketball, although old baseball dudes obviously are crusty too. Like, I love that old basketball legends talk about the same stupid shit that the dumbest, least informed basketball fans that you run into talk about. Like,
that's in the same way, though, too. In the same way, which
he
is
led
wild.
The charge on super team. Said NBA legend.
right. That's crazy to me. Like, you saw it firsthand, and you're still swayed by media. You know what I mean? You still allow Skip Bayless to decide what you saw, what you actually saw, bro. The fuck is wrong with people, bro? It's just crazy. LeBron out of top two teams? What would he have done in the first team, LeBron alone? You know what I mean? I take LeBron and two other niggas. Put LeBron and us three on the motherfucking squad, and we cooking them old niggas. You know what I mean? Hell no, bro. Get out of here, dog. Sheesh.
That's a tough matchup for us. I don't know. Who am I? Am I guarding Bill Russell or Wilt?
We getting washed. Yeah. I'm just talking shit, bro. I'm pulling a Skip Bayless right here, dog. We would get the fuck beat out of us, dog. You know what them niggas would do to us, bro?
Bro, there is no way, bro.
Jerry West like, would do unspeakable things to us.
Oh, Jerry. Oh, bro. Jerry West.
Look away, kids.
I would not invite my children. I would not invite my children today.
Yeah. It would be a massacre. Yeah.
Daddy, why is that old man putting you in a blender?
And the cooking barbecue. But look, I'm saying though, what could they do with Brian though? Braun would have 80. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. Crazy things. I'm so surprised when they go the levels they'll go to shit on today's players. You know what I mean? And we like, what would KD do? What would KD? We ain't even got, you know what I'm saying? We're like, dog, like Steph? The dude we just talked about who's dancing on his own brother, thanking God that he buzzed his brother's ass. What would he have done to them? You know what I mean? A massacre. Shit.
Okay, the topic of the day was Babe Ruth black.
Fuck it, why not?
Right.
I mean, why not, man? I mean, what did we lose here? You know, like, shit, it's fun. The Babe Ruth being black theory is fun, and I'm all for fun, so fuck it, why not? Let's roll with it.
He's whatever race Shrek is. Because that motherfucking nose had Shrek written all over it, dog.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. How you feel, Mike? What you thinking?
I was really interested in this actually. So I was doing a little bit of Wikipedia researching. I guess he was raised by German immigrants and like grew up speaking German. And if you've been around German people, it's some German people whose heads look like that. So
their heads.
Yeah, there's some German people out there with the double wide coffee can head.
That hammerhead.
Yeah, but some of the stories, you know, I'm sorry because I don't remember who posted it, but someone started a thread on Twitter yesterday and was sort of going through the different evidence. I mean, I'm inclined just because I think, you know, he's a great person. So yeah, let's say he's a black dude. Like that's fine with me. Like I'm.
Yeah, but honestly, it was fascinating to hear how in touch he was with, you know, black society back then. Like that was something that was an eye, like all jokes aside, that was an eye opening thing that I took from, you know, this, the whole theory that was uncovered is, you know, when they were doing, you know, the barnstorming tours where players can pick whatever teams, you know, that they want to play against. Like he picked Negro League teams, he picked teams in Cuba. They said he they said he went to the Cotton Club frequently. Him and Bumpy Johnson were friends. They said he was known to date black women. They said Ty Cobb, the most infamous. What? Yeah, like all jokes aside, like when you feel the ladies back on this shit, it's like, yeah. And Ty Cobb.
If a black woman fuck with you, you must be solid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right.
And they said Ty Cobb said that you know, during like an All-Star game, he was supposed to room with Babe Ruth, and Ty Cobb's old racist ass said, "I'm not rooming with an N-word." And so,
nigga, fuck Ty Cobb.
Fuck Ty Cobb forever. So yeah,
Ty Cobb is so racist. Ty Cobb might not have been willing to sleep in a hotel room with me, bro. Like Ty Cobb, like if you weren't like Aryan, he thought he was gonna be racist against you. You know what I mean? Yeah. But some of the other evidence about why he was denied coaching jobs that they thought he was going to desegregate the Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. He was going to bring black players in. I mean, some of it's entertaining. What I always think is like a funny window into how sort of weird and artificial some of America's obsession with race is when people are just looking at pictures of someone and they're like, well, if you colorize it like this, look at how black you look. You know what I mean? This picture was taken 100 years ago, bro. Like, I don't.
Did you see that one picture though? When he was, he took a picture with the section of black fans, and there's a black guy who sticks his hand out like by him. Like, do you see this? Like, we're the same dude. Like, did you see that picture though? I did
see the picture, and I love the picture because of the face that the dude was making. Yeah. It was the most like I'm a time traveler from 2021, like really looking through Twitter specifically at you. Like, do you see this?
Like, this is what's gonna win you that Twitter argument 108 years from now. This right here. Right? Yeah. It's a fascinating picture.
What's weird is we have Babe Ruth and what he's doing, and then we try to make like Abraham Lincoln a solid dude. Like, why don't we just lean into the dudes that are actually good?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In American history. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, we can say fuck Abe Lincoln, like, but there's like a Babe Ruth right here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think Babe Ruth probably thought, I mean, even if he was part black, he probably also thought things just from being alive in the 1910s that would horrify us now. I mean, but I do think it's an interesting thing when we look back at American history, we assume like, oh, it was the 1910s, so everyone was racist. Yeah, like it was obviously a racist time, just as it's a racist time right now. But just as now, there are people who are good people and people who are bad people.
Yeah.
And I like, because that was not considered good and bad at the time, it wasn't recorded in that way. So we just have like anecdotes of like, how did Frank Sinatra treat people? How did Marilyn Monroe treat people? But the New York Times wasn't writing like Marilyn Monroe was nice to black people. That's a good thing about, right? Like we just hear the stories from Ella Fitzgerald or whoever else. Like I think that I'm always fascinated by that because we don't know for any of these people. We know Ty Cobb was a prick. Like that's basically what we know.
Yeah. Fuck Ty Cobb.
Okay, the episode's dropping Thursday, but 2 days ago, our own Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler, almost had himself a Titty Tuesday at work.
Tuesday.
With the perils of Zoom, and I want you to tell this story because it's like a perfect 2021 story.
The titties were almost out. Let me tell y'all. Now I had to hop on a Zoom for work, and you know, I was just, you know, it's fucking, it's springtime now. It's fucking 85 degrees out. I'm walking around the crib with my tank top and shit. I hop on Zoom and the preview camera comes up. I'm like, oh shit, right? Like, the pecs was out there, dog. And yeah, and I had to go put my shirt on and shit. But thank God for that fucking preview camera. Cause my God, that would have been the most awkward shit to hop on the fucking Zoom with my coworkers in my fucking tank top. So. These are the new hazards of the new world, the new horizon that we have crossed in this post-pandemic America. Yeah.
I actually did get on it was through Google though, but I got on a meeting accidentally with my shirt off. You know what I mean? And my dude Robbie was like, John, turn your camera off. But it wasn't like he was saying it silly. Like I mean, luckily the space I work in, it wasn't a big deal. I just turned it off, went and put a shirt on, came back. But the space you work in, you know what I mean? Like,
It used to be that your biggest, it used to be your biggest worry was.
Right.
I mean, once upon a time, your biggest concern was like, I hope I don't accidentally make a real joke. Like I hope I don't accidentally say something that's actually funny.
right. Like,
now everyone's working at home in their underwear, so you're like, hopefully no one sees the way I look.
remember like Casual Fridays back in the day where you couldn't really wear your cool shit.
Casual Fridays, bro. So.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lame version of you still, but just not as lame as a person that had loafers on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Like, Casual Friday was the worst day to me.
The worst.
Because it was so hard to choose what clothes to wear because you really couldn't wear the clothes you actually were casual in. You know what I mean? Were casual to you.
Yeah. It was
gone. Shakespeare had a theory about how all revolutions are part of the order. That it's like the order system allows you to rebel within it. So you feel like you rebelled and you release that tension, but you're still contained within the order. That's what Casual Friday is. It's like, we're going to let you pretend something so you can feel like it, but really you're still wearing work clothes, bro.
I think that's what unlimited vacation is too, bro. You know what I mean? It's tricking you because most people that have unlimited vacation use less vacation people that have actual allotments of vacation. You know, they devious up there, bro.
Open that third eye.
They devious up there,
unlimited vacation sounds cool, but for one, you don't get paid for your unused PTO when you move on. And two, there's kind of the understanding that, hey, you're going to have to dig yourself out of whatever hole, you know, gets piled onto you during your time out. No excuses. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
The double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, vacation, I still check emails, dude. Like, you don't really have full vacation. You can't come back to 300 emails after a week off.
Never in my adult life have I gone on vacation without my computer, bro.
Like, right,
you know
bro.
What I mean? I have a question. I need you to be honest with me. Do I look like Dan Le Batard, bro?
You see, I'm going to tell you because You saw someone comment on video and said
in that image.
Yeah. No. It happens anytime we have a video out. Someone goes, "Oh, I thought they were talking about," like literally every time. We get one or two every time.
I feel like it happens more when you wear your hat because Dan is a hat guy.
Yep.
You become a hat guy in that moment. And see, that's the thing. That's the thing. White guys are disproportionately hat guy. Like me, it's so shocking to find a black guy who's not a hat guy, right?
Like me, a nigga without facial hair.
Yeah, exactly. Like
you know what I mean? Yeah,
like me and John. Can't trust me and John are hat guys. Most of the black dudes I know are hat guys. White dudes wear hats, but there's very few white hat guys. You know, there's kind of a distinction.
Yeah.
Dan is a hat guy.
If you see me without a hat, you ain't see me, dog. Yeah,
for real.
You know what I mean? Like, it ain't never happened, dog. You feel me? Like, but I think y'all have like, if we're putting things together, like your head is, you're Mr. Potato Head, right?
Right.
Like y'all have the, you know,
you'd
the goat.
Pick up most of the same parts.
Yeah, we put all the same features on there. They just look a little different. You know what I mean? But they're all, you know what I'm saying? The same, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's all it was, man.
It's a running joke among people in Long Beach that like, anytime it's a white dude with glasses and a beard with dark hair in a commercial, that I'm going to get 15 texts from black friends of mine. Like, "Hey, I just saw you in the Geico commercial." Like,
"Hey, that's reverse racism."
It is true, especially with teenagers, that all white people do look alike to black teenagers. That is a fucking fact.
I've never seen a white man that couldn't have been a Matt. I will say that. If you white, you're Matt. You feel me? Like, flat out.
I will say, after the deal Levitar signed, I'm less inclined to be bothered by people thinking I look like him.
Right.
Salute to him for
that.
Speaking of props
to him.
So the exact opposite of that, I just saw this story today and I wanted to bring this up because I feel like this is all three of our nightmare. You guys have played EA Sports video games. You've heard the EA Sports. Mm-hmm. It's in the game.
Yeah.
Did you know that the dude who did it for free?
Oh, no. What?
He was a voiceover actor named Andrew Anthony. And in 1992, a friend of his landed a commercial contract for an up-and-coming video game studio called EA Sports. And he went down there as a favor to his friend and laid down EA Sports. It's in the game. The voice has been used in over 100 games that have generated over $40 billion in sales.
God.
And he has not received one dollar.
Man, his friend wasn't a friend, though. Because his friend should have been like, "Yo, we got to cash this man out in some way, dog." You know what I mean?
Friend probably got ripped off too, bro.
Damn, bro. Like, they just get to use his voice in perpetuity.
He
you know what I mean?
Fucking thing, because he's doing for a favor for his friend. He signed whatever the fucking release was, and now they own that. They own his voice saying those words.
Bro. That's why you never do favors for friends that don't involve money when it involves a corporation, bro.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, you know what I'm saying? Be like, "Yo, what's the budget?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you might not got it, but I know them niggas do. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's part of what's funny to me. EA Sports at the time, I don't think they even had a pro sports game license. So it was just like the original catchphrase. There's a front on it, which I didn't know. It was like, "If it's in the game, EA Sports, it's in the game." They cut the front of it off. It's brutal.
That
bro.
Dude is the voice of God for sports video games, and he hasn't made a penny off that shit.
Bro.
What the fuck?
And it's not even a significant enough thing to where he could get paid doing like autograph shows or going to conventions or something. Like, he just
says it to his grandkids. His grandkids are like, "Why are you living in squalor?
Why are we eating potatoes for dinner?
Why are we eating gruel?"
Boiled potatoes.
They jumped their granddad. They mad. They broke. They put face to face over that motherfucking shit, nigga.
God damn. That is
That's fucked up out here, dog.
Woo. John asked a question yesterday on Twitter that I really want to dive into this.
What did I ask?
You asked.
Let's peel back the layers here.
Why are Q-tips legal if the only thing that anyone really uses them for, you're not supposed to do? Because it says on the box, "Keep these motherfuckers away from your ear." But that's
But that's, bro, like, I remember, like, the last time I used it was long hellas ago. And, like, my ears be going crazy during, like, the allergy season, bro. Like, my shit, you need a bomb to break up. My doctor literally said we need to put a bomb, like, on some joke shit to break up all the shit that was going on. So I tried to, like, clean them one time.
And you need just one clogged Uthmar my punch. Shit.
Yeah. Boop, you know what I'm saying? Clog my shit up. You feel me? Like, right in my motherfucking, like, so, like, for 3 days, I had to, like, put this liquid in there. So I never use them. You know what I'm saying? But, like, dog, it makes no sense. And plus, your ears are supposed to clean themselves, dog. You aren't supposed to be, you know, digging into cramming your fucking shit. Ear canal. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, but I don't know, bro. Like, I have no idea why we can use them, being that they are not supposed to be used what they're supposed to be used for. You know what yeah. I mean?
Well, you know, the stipulation, that's just them legally covering their ass so they can't get sued if a motherfucker like punctures their eardrum. But they know that's what motherfuckers are using them for. But then they got the outfit. Yeah, you can use these to like clean, you know, your keyboard or whatever the fuck. No one uses them for that. You know what I mean?
It's to help you get makeup yeah. up.
They yeah. really said that.
Yeah.
Is there a commercial showing them cleaning the keyboard with a fucking Q-tip?
I'm sure we can find some bullshit. We won't find them ever putting it in their ear on a commercial.
Oh hell yeah. No. Nah. Right. Everything but what they actually are used for, dog.
Are there any? I can't think of any other products where you're not allowed to do what you buy them for. Like you know, you buy yourself a new car or something. It's like, make sure you don't start the engine.
right. I use like a mixture of peroxide and water when I'm trying to get my shit right. You feel me? Like, just let it bubble in that motherfucker and then do my thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, sticking shit in your ear. Not advised, people. You know what I mean?
It's not the recommended usage. You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for over under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over under and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over under. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Okay, our producer Adam sent us from @BigOrangeMac a TikTok video of a grandma who, insert the audio here. You can listen to it for yourself.
Yeah, please play the audio.
Hey, TikTok family. I'm in trouble again. Nobody at the house is speaking with me. We went to my grandson's basketball game today, and apparently the rules have changed. Now, when I was a kid, if you were playing ball and you missed your free throws, the crowd would boo you and get on your ass. When my kids were kids, if you missed your free throws, the crowd would boo you and get on your ass. Apparently, it's frowned upon for you to heckle the little kids now. So you can't tell a child you suck and boo them.
Well, Mama, I'm your grandson.
Baby, you missed your free throws. Them the rules. I didn't make them.
Okay, so what is so your thoughts?
Whenever you hear a motherfucker say, apparently it is frowned upon, that's when you know that person is on the wrong side of whatever they're discussing. That is the telltale sign of a motherfucker who's detached from the reality of whatever situation they're in. Like, you booing your grandkid? Come on, man. For one, booing a kid is ridiculous to begin with, but your own wild grandkid? Yeah, she was wild.
Bro, it's wild, but I also understand her. That was pretty fucking normal when I was even a kid, bro. Like, you miss free throws, you get booed or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, usually the grandkids refrain. This grandmother is wiling. You know what I mean? Like, in any generation, yes, they get booed. But your grandchild, bro, you're tripping right here, dog. You know what I mean?
I have jokingly thought about writing a guide to being a parent that includes actual advice that you need. And one of the chapters in it would be how to talk to your parents about how everyone's not a fucking asshole anymore.
Because that's what we do. That's what we used to deal with.
Hey, bro. We don't hit kids in the face for forgetting to bring their water bottle somewhere anymore. Bro, you know what I mean? It's just
like off of the things we got whooped for. I'm like, I got whooped for being a kid, basically. You know what I mean? Like, you do kid shit and you get a whooping. Nigga, I am 7.
Bro.
And you want me to operate like a 24-year-old? The fuck? Nigga, ask me questions. I don't know. You don't know? You don't know? No, I don't know, nigga. I'm 7, motherfucker. Listen, God damn. Listen, bro. I still don't know. And I'm in my 30s, motherfucker. Shit.
Bro, I remember one of the first harsh life lessons I had was when I was like 6 or 7 years old. And me and my mom were at the train station in New York, Grand Central, whatever. And I get lost, right? And so, you know, I'm panicking. I can't find my mom. And then I find her, right? And I run up to her, I'm like, mommy, you know, and I'm used to seeing shit on the sitcoms like Full House, where you know, if a kid goes missing, it's like, oh, Michelle, we miss you. You had us worried sick. Oh, my mom beat the fuck out of me when she called me, bro.
Snatch you off your feet, nigga.
In public for getting lost, bro. Like, God damn, really? I was like, yo, life is not like Full House. This shit is real. Right, motherfuckers out here getting beat up in public, dog.
I wish, like, you didn't even. You just like, I did something wrong, right? But I think if you actually looked at your mom, like in the situations I was in the UN and shit like that, and be like, you know, I'm 6, right? Like, they might have thought about it, but we don't have even the wherewithal because we've been told we have to act like we ain't us, yeah. Nigga. Like, what the fuck? I don't know shit, nigga, and I'm getting punished for shit that I don't know. Like, the fuck. Dude, I'm so glad. Man. Fuck that. People always come about like, man, I remember back in the day, I wish, nigga, fuck being a kid. I said to my sister about this week. Fuck being a kid. I do not want to go back to that shit. Got an ass to go outside. You know what I mean? Didn't have no snacks in the house,
things,
nigga.
One of the stupidest things about the human brain is when you've survived something, you narrativize it as something you overcame and wanting other people to like have to like, it's that way with student loans. It's that way with, you know, your niggas. Parents being fucked up to you. Like, not me, bro. When my son misses a free throw, I tell him, you want to go to the park and shoot free throws. I'll put on some music you like and we'll hang out. You know what I mean?
You feel
like,
me?
And if he grows up to be a pussy, cool, bro. At least he won't be afraid if I cough. You know what
he'll
I mean?
Be peace, right. He'll be peaceful. He'll be, you know what I'm saying? Niggas getting therapy because of, you know, you prepared somebody for life, nigga.
Your grandma booed you in front of all your friends.
You're the opposite of that shit, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm trying to work through the shit that you did to prepare me for life, nigga. Ain't nobody whoop my ass like y'all did.
I gotta
You know what I mean?
I gotta undo all the shit you prepared me, you quote unquote prepared me for. What the fuck? I gotta unprepare all this shit. We're back at ground zero because this is not the way to move.
Right, you feel me? Shit.
Can't just go around beating motherfuckers up.
I'll be damned if I'm whooping my kid's ass in public. You feel me? I used to get my ass whooped like dogged out. I'm like, nigga, what? You know what I'm saying?
My wife made this point to me as she grew up in the way you're describing. And she made the point to me. She said, you do stuff like that to kids to quote unquote prepare them for being an adult, but you never treat yourself like that. If you leave something in the house or you like, imagine you got mixed up in Grand Central Station for 30 seconds. You don't start screaming at yourself.
I got lost for a second.
Like,
I remember one time my stepdad was bossing us around on some like, do this. He just had us doing all types of shit. This nigga ain't did shit all day. Just sat around, right? And I get you paying bills and shit, nigga, but you got me cleaning up your shit. You got me folding up your shit, nigga. Yeah, this ain't indentured servitude, motherfucker, whatever the fuck, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, motherfucker, I have to earn the right to be here. Y'all brought me this motherfucker. And so he kept telling me to do shit. And I looked at him, I said, what are you gonna do? And I got whooped, nigga. I really wanted. What the fuck is you gonna do? Your ass just sitting here bossing my ass around for the last 3-4 hours?
Low key, if you think back on all the times you got whooped off for sounding off, that means you really won. Because your parents had no count.
They didn't have an ass. Right?
So yeah,
like, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
Nigga, I mean, like, dude, I remember a particular time, motherfucker. We had spaghetti like 3 days a week. You feel me? And so like the motherfucking the spaghetti sauce was gone. So I put the noodles down to disposal. I got whooped because I got rid of the food. I'm like, them noodles were fucking back then 43 cents. I got whooped over like a box of 43 cents of like leftover noodles, nigga. Shit was crazy back then, nigga.
Right. I remember
what you took $50 out of my ass over 43 cents. You feel
because you assumed the family wasn't gonna eat noodles agua.
Well, yeah. Wet ass noodles.
I remember one time I got my ass whooped because I was being a class clown when we had a substitute teacher in fifth grade, right? And showing off. And my mom was like, "You showing off trying to make those girls laugh. You think you're cute, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm cute. I think I'm a nice looking kid." Right? And she whooped my ass for that. Like, god damn. I can't have confidence in myself.
You can't have self-esteem around this motherfucker. She whooped you over self-esteem, nigga. Jesus Christ. Oh. We was getting our ass whooped, dog. Bro, damn, nigga, shit was crazy. I got grounded in third grade for 2 6-week back to back because I had all B's in 1A. Oh,
what the fuck?
And you can do better. I could do better. But nigga, fuck school, dog. You know what I mean? And it's all B's and an A. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Bradford next door was getting D's and was still playing Nintendo, all types of shit. You ain't Bradford. I'm not, but I'm also not getting them fuck ass grades either, though. Shit. We was 12 weeks no TV, dog.
You ain't had to throw Bradford under the bus like that, though, man. God damn.
I hope that's an assumed name.
He said nobody know who Bradford the fuck is. little Hispanic homie, you feel me? But yeah,
I'd be interested in knowing how Bradford is now with that, you know, parenting style that he came up with.
I think Bradford's cool. Like last time I rap with him, like he was like it was like right out of college. You know what I'm saying? And he was like he owned like a, it was like a. You know when you, the sunrooms with the vents and shit,
yeah.
That you have, he was building them. He would say, yeah, he had to own a company that was making them shit. So he took them D's and used them motherfuckers. Yeah. What the shit that he learned, he used that, and the shit that he didn't, he didn't give a fuck about. You feel me? So,
all right, I think that's I think all three of us are late for a therapy session. So I think that's all we have time for today. We'll get to I got a good blow your mind. We'll get to that on the next episode on Monday. Hey. NBA players, superstars are starting to get healthy. Playoffs are less than a month
Let's
away.
Oh, yeah. Let's
fucking go.
Playoff basketball.
EA Sports. It's in the game.